You're listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney from the nation's capital in Washington, D.C.
Our guest is Anne Sorok. She has just published a new product, in fact, unveiling a new initiative, of which it is the first product. It is the Ear to the Ground initiative. And its first research, done in collaboration with a terrific public opinion researcher, Dr. George Barna, and his American Culture and Faith Institute, is about American views on patriotism. It was the subject of a press conference call that Anne and George and others had earlier in the day. We are speaking with her before it actually occurred, but after this broadcast afterwards, of course. And Anne, I just wanted to get your sense of how would you characterize the two patriotisms? I mean, what is it that most defines the differences between people? Is it the left versus the right, the conservatives versus the liberals, the elites versus the people? I mean, what is it that you find is best exemplified in the adhering to these different patriotisms?
Yeah, it really was for this survey. What this survey revealed is that the party lines really did reveal a fissure, as well as age group. But there were just such a difference in terms of urgency and intensity about the feeling. So one of the aspects we polled about was, do they feel that patriotism is dropping? And that's something where we saw, again, about a 30-point drop. So conservatives were far more likely to perceive that there was a drop in patriotism, so that perception is there. But then when they're defining it, we're looking at 65% of conservatives saying it's completely accurate to say they're proud of being American. 37% of liberals say that they are proud to be American. 18% of liberals would prefer to live in another country, which I thought was somewhat high. And then when we're looking at sort of the more drilling down into what it means to them, liberals were 20 points less likely to consider citizenship meaningful. They assessed a far lower value on all of the rights attached. Let's look at like the right to bear arms was a 40-point difference, more than a 40-point difference. So we're looking at sort of a lower ranking in terms of meaning of all the traditional aspects of patriotism. That's freedom of speech, freedom of religion, citizenship, the U.S. Constitution, et cetera.
And one of the things that's jumping out at me is, as you discuss this, there is indeed, happily, a very profound indication that people in this country appreciate and support and want to be able to exercise free speech. But in a way, at least as I've come to experience this sentiment of late in some quarters, there are very important differences in terms of what is considered to be free speech. Free speech for some is any speech, and I think that's what the framers of the Constitution clearly had in mind. Indeed, arguably, the thing that was most protected was the part of speech that was likely to be deemed offensive to some, because otherwise it would be not allowed, it would be suppressed. And yet that's what increasingly it seems some who may, you know, as you've indicated, be patriotic, nonetheless are saying, well, we're for free speech, but not if it offends people, particularly moi, you know. So how does that kind of exemplify what you've been discerning in these differences between the one or the other school of patriotism you've identified?
Yeah, I think you really hit on it, because it's the definition. While we're actually seeing a pretty similar, when it comes to freedom of speech, as I said, that overall is polling is the most important aspect tested with both liberals and conservatives. It's that definition of what it means. So we're finding that, in fact, the only aspect of patriotism that those on the left deemed more important than conservatives did was the use of nonviolent civil disobedience to overcome what they call social injustice. So it's that term that, how are you defining freedom of speech? And I've done actually other research that shows that on the freedom of speech, it shows that that often is described by those on the left as actually a freedom from judgment. So when you're defining it in that way, you may think that you're talking about the same thing. And that's one of the results of this survey that we want to bring to more people, that even if you use a term as sort of innocuous sounding to us, or at least a definition you think you're all using, freedom of speech. It's quite clear that people aren't interpreting that in the same way.
And this point about, you know, freedom from discrimination, or however you want to characterize it, actually does involve a certain amount of discrimination, does it not? It essentially says you may not say things about people lest you be discriminating. And that, in a way, again, flies in the face of certainly the traditional understanding of freedom of speech. And I wonder if we're not now watching in other areas as well, either a calculated or simply the phenomenon of changes to the basic understanding of what we're talking about, whether it's patriotism or speech or for that matter, citizenship. And I wanted to ask you about citizenship. This was another point on which there was a rather striking difference between the two patriotisms you've identified. Clearly, those who hold to what I would think of as a sort of more traditional view of American exceptionalism and love of country and so on have a very strong attachment, it seems, to citizenship. The others, with their revised definitions or what have you, not so much. Talk a little bit about that, if you would, Anne Sirach.
Yes, as I said, liberals are 20 points less likely to consider that and personally meaningful to them. And I think that this goes along with another data point we found, which is 18% of liberals saying that they would like to live in another country, which I had mentioned previously. There's a less of an association with our country as representing these values in a unique way. So when you're asking someone, are they patriotic, and they're not even associating America with being the defender of those values, you're seeing that wear away.
Lastly, Anne, let me ask you about the role of faith in all of this. One of the things that I think has been most dramatic in the changing character of our country in the past few decades has been the embrace of secularism, to some extent the eschewing of Judeo-Christian traditions and values. Is that a fixture in all of this? Does it figure into what we're confronting now in the way of people simply not having as much of an attachment to America and what it stands for?
I'm so glad you brought that up. I think that it figures in by not figuring in. And it was very striking because of a list of items, sort of, as I had said, that we were asking people to rank how much they associated them with patriotism and how meaningful they were. The Bible was almost at the tail end of this list in terms of being associated with patriotism and meaningful. And that's even among conservatives. So I wanted to point out that this is not liberals are bad, conservatives are good in terms of patriotism type of result that we're looking at here, even from the point of view of those of us who respect limited government and these freedoms in the Constitution. I think there are some concerns here. All across the board, Americans are not associating faith or that Judeo-Christian ethic with what makes America exceptional. And that should be a warning to all of us that our civics are not transmitting this.
Well, to the extent that they're being taught at all, it makes all the more important, I guess, the launch of the new Museum of the Bible here in Washington, D.C. at this very moment. Anne Sirach, I wish you the very best for this new project. I hope that we can help support it along the trail at the Center for Security Policy, and I look forward to the further results, the reaction to this immediate study on American patriotism, and those that you have in the offing. How can people look at the product and learn more about your initiative?
Yes, thank you. And it was a pleasure to be here. Thank you for giving attention to this work. And if they would like to go to www.eartotheground.us.
Eartotheground.us. Terrific. And you'll come back to us, I hope, very soon. In the meantime, keep up the good work. Next up, we'll speak with Kenneth Timmerman. He'll talk to us a little bit about our increasing vulnerability to terrorist attacks thanks to bad policies of the New York City government and state, and also Huma Abedin's Muslim engagement. That and more straight ahead.